Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Look this morning at a text of scripture, the last chapter of the book of John. So if you turn your Bible to John chapter number 21, let's stand together. We'll read the first 14 verses of John 21, and we'll just talk about some instructions that are given for us. I hope we'll apply to you today. It says in John 21, verse 1, after these things. Well, let's read John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Let's read the two verses previous. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. This is what happened. Verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples, seven disciples there. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, that's about 100 yards, and dragging the net with fishes. Verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus saith unto Jesus cometh, taketh the bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this story in the Word of God, this true story. The resurrected Savior, our great God, you come down to the disciples in their need, in their failure, and you tell them, come and dine. Everything we need is in you, our great Savior. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us at every turn of the way, every single day of our lives. Thank you for your great provision. Thank you for providing salvation. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today who doesn't know you as their Savior, never just taken that time to call out to you and ask you to be their Savior in simple faith, believing who you are, King of Kings, great God, the Savior. Lord, I pray that they would do that this morning. Lord, I pray that you would encourage every believer here. I pray you would raise up Pastor Rader, help him to get feeling better. Help Pastor Josh as he travels back this way. Help all of us as believers here at Fundamental Baptist Church to love you more because of the message here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love a good fishing story. I mean, this is a fishing story that's a good one right here. This is a good one. Most of my fishing stories just end like it does right up here in verse number 3. They got nothing. That's how most of my fishing stories end. That's the end of it. There's not even a tale like, oh, was this big? Because there was nothing big enough to even say you got something. So that's just how it goes sometimes. No matter what you do, you don't catch anything. No matter what you throw, the other guy throws the same thing. He catches a fish. But that's just how fishing story goes. But this is really not a story about just recreational fishing. This is about Peter being discouraged in the ministry because of his own failures, having failed the Savior again, and just not knowing what to do. He's supposed to be waiting. They're waiting. The Lord hasn't showed up yet. Calvary's taking place. They've seen the Lord in the upper room. They were to wait there till they were endued with power from on high, and they did. God empowered them. The Holy Spirit came on the believers, and it was a miraculous thing. Jesus said before he left, I'll not leave you comfortless. If I go, I'll leave you the Holy Spirit. And we have that promise. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit of God is a part of your everyday life. He convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He tells you what's right and wrong, and he encourages you. He comforts you. He guides you. He directs you in your life. God does that through his Holy Spirit. And Peter, who had failed the Lord, was waiting for the Lord. The Lord hadn't showed up yet. They're back to the place where they had started. Let's go back to the book of Luke real quick. Go back to the book of Luke in chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5. When Jesus first started his ministry, and he is gathering together some disciples that will follow him. And let's look at Luke 5. We'll read several of these verses. Luke 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus is just beginning his ministry, and here's Simon cleaning his nets. He's a fisherman. We know him as Peter, and he is cleaning his nets. And Peter says, let me use your fishing boat and launch out of the way so I can teach these people. This is the perfect amphitheater to teach from. And Jesus is teaching. In verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice he says the net. He's starting to believe in who Jesus is. He's not understanding. He has some faith here. He's not letting all the nets out, but he's going to let down the net. In verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he sees the success of what Jesus told him to do. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And look what they did in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him, followed Jesus. At the very beginning of Peter's time with Jesus, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Peter had realized he needs to follow Jesus. Remember at the very first, when you first trusted Jesus as your Savior? And you knew Jesus was your Savior. You knew that your sins were forgiven. You knew that you were on your way to heaven. You knew that God had a purpose in your life, and you wanted to follow Jesus. And it was your heart's desire to follow Jesus and live for Jesus and do whatever he would ask you to do. And it doesn't matter what. Go anywhere. Do anything. It doesn't matter. I'm going to follow Jesus. I remember that in my life, coming to the place where I don't care what it is, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to follow you. I want to live for you. And I hope you have that attitude that when you trusted Jesus, you wanted to do that. And that's how Peter was. But along the way, things don't always go as planned. Along the way, we fail. Along the way, we make mistakes. Along the way, we disappoint our Savior. And sometimes we can get discouraged because I can't seem to do anything right. Nothing seems to be going right. And Peter was at this point in this story, in this fishing story. Jesus is going to bring Peter back to the place where he started. where he's going to, again, follow Jesus with all his heart. It's going to happen. He's going to love him and follow him again. But as we read through the story, we see some interesting things. Peter, when he decides to go fishing, verse number 3, I go fishing, it says, the next phrase, the disciples that were with him said, the other 6 that were with him said, we're going to go with you. Boy, oh boy, Peter, don't stop following Jesus. Don't stop living for Jesus. Don't stop following the Savior, because if you do, there'll be others who will stop as well. You cannot afford to stop following Jesus. You have to follow Jesus. You have to be in love with Jesus. You don't want your children, your grandchildren, the people in the ministry around you. You don't want other people quitting because you quit. You can't quit. You can't quit on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done everything for you. And all the days of all of your Christian life, since the day you trusted Jesus as your Savior, he has provided everything. All of the healing, all of the help, all of the strengthening in all of our lives since the day we trusted Jesus as our Savior is because of him. And since before and after that, I mean, everything we have is because of him. It's great to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also see in this story, we see again that Jesus is on the shore. Jesus is not far from you at any time. Even in that place where you're trying to get away from the Lord, he's not far from you. He's still right there. You cannot escape the Lord. Like Jonah, you cannot run from the presence of the Lord. And so here they are, been unsuccessful. Verse number 3, they caught nothing. In verse number 4, Jesus was standing there on the shore, but the disciples didn't even know it. Jesus has not left you. You might want to leave him. You might want to, figure yourself a failure and want to quit, but he's not ever going to quit on you. You can quit on him, but he'll never quit on you. Never, never, never. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He always has hope. He doesn't ever get discouraged about your failure. He loves you just the same. He wants to help you come back to the place where you can draw nigh to God and be close to God again. He doesn't want you to fall far away from him. And Jesus is there and he says, children, have you any meat? In other words, like, hey boys, do you have breakfast yet? You better not start your day without breakfast. I know lots of people that do that. Some of my children are guilty of that. Some of my people I know, they start their day without breakfast. I don't believe it. I don't know where it's at in the Bible. That's gotta be a sin. I don't know for sure, but people do that. They start their day without breakfast. And here's Jesus. Children, have you any meat? Did you have any breakfast yet? Did you have anything to eat? It's in the morning here. And they answered him, no. And so he gives them instruction to cast the net on the right side of the ship. They don't even still know it's Jesus. Yet that first day, we read it in Luke chapter 5. That first day when they first followed Jesus, Jesus had done the same thing. Hey, put your boat out there, cast your net out there. And they caught so many fish, the net broke. They couldn't even haul it in. And now the same thing's happening and they're not remembering that yet. They will. John will be the first one to remember, right? So here Jesus gives the instructions. And then in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter knew it right away. As soon as John mentions this, Peter gets it in his head. You're right, John. You're absolutely right. This is obvious. This is Jesus. And it is the Lord, Peter says. Now, when Simon Peter heard that, he girded himself with the coat and cast himself into the sea, and he's the first one to go to shore. It's interesting here. Peter, the first one to say, let's go back into business and leave the ministry. The first one to go quit the ministry is the first one to see his first one to jump in the shore. You guys take care of the fish. I'm going back to Jesus. It's interesting that just kind of interesting to see. Don't wait. If you're far from Jesus today and you're not following him today, don't wait. Jump out the boat, get out of that where you're at and get back to Jesus. It's not very far. It's only a short swim and you'll be there. And Jesus is there. And then of course, when Peter gets there, you notice what is taking place. The ship's out there. They're dealing with the fish. Peter doesn't care about the fish. At this time, he wants to be with Jesus. And Jesus says, bring of the fish which you have caught. And I like what he says in verse number 12, come and dine. Come and dine. And notice what Jesus has prepared there. Verse number 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. There was warmth and there was food. And there was fellowship. Jesus didn't give Peter the what to, what for barrage of criticism that he kind of maybe, he'd come not to expect that from Jesus. We can expect a barrage of criticism from people oftentimes. There are certain people who will criticize you no matter what you do. But and you can expect, you come to expect that sometimes, this criticism in life, but not with Jesus. There's not a criticism here. There is a calling. Lord wants Peter to love him again. There is a understanding Savior who understands our failure. There is a Savior who wants us to just get things right again and get back on your feet. A just man falls 7 times and gets up again, right? He wants us just to get back on our feet and get going again for him and in love with him again. That's it. Come and dine, Peter. Let the past be the past. It's time to get back where you're supposed to be. It's time to get back in love with Jesus again. And it says here in verse 12, all the disciples knew that it was the Lord. And now let's keep reading. It's the third time. And there you have the fish fry. They have a great breakfast. Oh man, there's been some good fish fries. When we used to take them trips to Canada, we ate so much fish. God has always met my needs. And Jesus has always met that. And Jesus is doing this again. He's meeting the disciples' needs. And now he's going to talk to Peter face to face. I don't know for sure in verse 15 as we start reading, if the disciples were sitting around the fire, kind of drying off and taking care of the fish, maybe it was that Peter and Jesus took a little walk up the shore together and kind of just the two of them here. I don't know. It seems likely that this is just a conversation between just Peter and Jesus. And the first thing Jesus says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, before we say the question he asks, look what he calls him, Simon. Remember, Jesus had changed his name. He said, now thou art, after Peter says, hey, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, your name's going to be Peter, Petra. You're the little rock. You're the little stone. And now Jesus goes back to the name Simon on purpose. Because with this question, he's helping Peter to see where he's at. Okay, you're Peter when you're following me. Now you're going to be that old man again. You're going to be Simon again. You're going to be the one who doesn't live for me anymore. You're going to go back to the old nature instead of living in the spirit, walking with God. You're going to go back to living in the flesh, Peter. So this question is on purpose, he says, Simon. And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Very personal question, face to face with Jesus. I think we'll all face that. We're all going to stand one day face to face with Jesus. And we're all going to give account of ourselves. It'll be a one-on-one accountability with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with Jesus himself. And we're going to have to say, did we love him? And this word love, agape, do you love me a lot? Just to put it this way, Peter's going to say, I love you a little bit. To get out of the way from the words, agape, unconditional love, and phileo, the brotherly love. Just put it this way, Peter, do you love me supremely? Do you love me with the high, lofty, pure Bible love, a love that's unconditional? And Peter answers him. He says to him, Lord, yea, thou knowest that I have this affection, this brotherly love for you. It's not unconditional. I obviously have failed. It's not the kind of love that's without fail, but I do have an affection for you. And so Jesus said, feed my lambs. Get back to work. Get back into service, doing ministry. And then look at it says, he said to him a second time, Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me a lot? Do you love me more than anything else? And he says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you a little bit. I have a little bit of love for you. He says, feed my sheep. And he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, and now Jesus changed the question. Do you just love me a little bit? Do you love me a phileo love, a little? Jesus says on the first two times says agape, and the third time says phileo. And so now we say, okay, Peter, do you love me a little? And do you love me just a little bit? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you a little bit. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And he's going to give him instruction. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou didst gird thyself and walk whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So Peter is at the point in his life when he realizes it, He understands, I don't love the Lord the way I should. He's not first place in my life. He's not my love above all other loves. I do love him a little bit. I do love him some. I do want to be close to God, but I just don't have, I'm just not putting him in the top place, in the top priority, in the place of all of my love. And he's understanding this. And Jesus said, is telling him, it's going to happen, Peter. You're going to get to the place where I'm first. You're going to give your whole life for me. And Peter is understanding this because he's talking about his death here. And Peter's understanding that he's going to get there. And Peter's understanding, Lord, I know you're going to help me with this. I know that if I just keep following you and I just keep doing what's right, and if I don't quit, that I eventually will love you that much. And I will. That love will get stronger. That love will be strong. Just like in a good marriage, that husband and wife marriage, the first 5 years, there's a love there. But by the time you get to 25 years, it better be a lot stronger love. It better be a lot better. When you first started following Jesus, there's a little bit of love there. But when you start following Jesus for a very long time, and he should have your whole heart's affection, all of your love. This is basically the instruction for Peter. Peter, you love me, you need to serve me, and you need to follow me. You love me, now serve me. Be in the ministry. Feed the sheep. We are the sheep of his flock. Well, let's just go to John 10 just for a minute. Because if you're doubting salvation in any way, you belong to Jesus. You're part of his flock. John chapter 10 is such an encouragement. Of course, in the chapter, he calls himself the good shepherd. And I love that about our Savior. You go to Psalm 100, the good old 100th Psalm, and you'll see that as well. But John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus knows you. He knows your failures. He knows me. He knows my failures. That doesn't change his love for me. That doesn't change his desire for me to follow him, his desire for my fellowship. He wants me to come and dine, to sit there with him around the campfire, to eat the bread and the fish. He wants me to obey him and live for him and serve him. He wants you as well. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows everything about us, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We have a great Savior. He's the good shepherd. We belong to the King of Kings. We belong to Jesus. We're his sheep. And the Lord just says, Peter, I just want you to feed my sheep, to lead and feed the sheep, to be an example and to use the word of God to help and encourage other people. It's not rocket science. It's just obeying Jesus and being in love with Jesus. But our hearts stray so easily. We get away from God. We fail God. We do things we shouldn't do. We get involved in things we shouldn't be involved in. We so disappoint him. Matthew in chapter 22, Jesus makes it clear, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And we fail so often in that. But yet, in that failure is not a reason to fall away from God further. It's a reason to get back right with God. It's a reason to confess our sins and to draw near and to be closer than we ever were. It's a reason to love him more. And the Lord is just stressing upon Peter, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to follow me, you're first going to have to get this where you love me more than you do right now. You have to love me more than just a little. You have to love me a lot. You have to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you have to get to that point, Peter. Peter does get there. But like you and I, Peter's going to do a little bit of excusing here. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John always refers to himself this way. I don't know, maybe Peter was a little jealous of John. John is the one that was very, you know, the inner circle of Jesus, Peter, James, and John. John was that probably youngest disciple, the disciple that was so close to Jesus. He was just the one who loved, you know, all of the books John writes emphasizes love. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Read this book. The emphasis on love and life and light in this book of John is tremendous. And we have this emphasis on love. And so he's describing this in the third person. You know, here Peter turning about, he seen John is what he did. He saw John coming. Maybe they had gone a certain way down the beach, and now they're coming back towards the fire, and John is maybe following to see, because what's Jesus telling Peter? Maybe John was kind of coming behind, like, I want to hear what Jesus is going to tell Peter. Maybe that's how it was. I don't know. But as they're coming back towards the fire, where all the other disciples are, there's seven of them there at the time. At least, maybe others came later, I don't know. But there's at least the seven. Two of them, we don't know exactly which two they are. But they're coming back to the fire, and there's John. And here, Peter sees John, and which leaned on his breast is the Lord which betrayed. Verse 21, Peter seeing him, seeing John, said to the Lord, to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus just got done telling Peter, you're going to follow me, and you're actually going to give your life. You're going to love me and follow me and give your life for me. You're not going to see the rapture. You're not going to be caught up to be with. You're going to be one who gives your life. All of the disciples of Jesus gave their life for Jesus Christ. Every single one. They all were martyred for the cause of Christ. Thomas, way over in India, gave his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is, again, speaks to the truthfulness of these words that we read in the accounts of the life of Jesus in the Gospels. And so he sees him and says, what's he going to do? You ever do that? okay, Lord, you want me to do this? What about this guy? What's he going to do? Everybody wants to know what somebody else is going to do instead of what they have to do. Jesus is trying to focus the attention of Peter on what he is supposed to be doing. And this morning, can you focus your attention on what God wants for you to accomplish and do? You need to love him first and foremost. Is your love for Jesus stronger today than it's ever been? That's got to be first. You need to love him, and then you can be part of ministry and following Jesus with all your heart, soul, and because you love him, follow him for the right reasons. And it says, so verse 22, Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, don't worry about what John's going to do. You just follow me. And that's how you and I have to be. We have to be focused on following Jesus this next year. All the other things that you're doing, it better be because Jesus has called you to do that. Because you're doing it because Jesus has called you to do it. Whatever the job you're doing, whatever the work you're doing, wherever you're at in life, it's because you're doing what Jesus has called you to do and you're in love with Jesus and accomplishing it for him. So here we have at the end of the book, till I come. We're to love Jesus, we're to serve Jesus, we're to follow Jesus till Jesus comes. Or until he takes us home. It's that simple. It's a great fish story, but it's really a story of Peter's restoration, getting back where he needs to be, getting right with God and serving God and living for God. I mean, that's a great instruction for this next year. Let's just keep loving Jesus, keep living for serving Jesus, keep following Jesus until he comes again. If it doesn't come in 2025, at the end of 2025, we'll still be following him, we'll still be in love with him, and he'll still be first place in our lives. That is amazing. That would be the greatest fish story. If that happens, we will be fishers of men this next year, and we will be catching men. We'll be influencing others and pointing others to Jesus because of our love for him. My love for Christ will be evident enough that others will want to love Christ as well and follow Christ as well. And we'll be a reaching ministry that's evangelistic, that's doing all that we're doing for the right reasons because of our love for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.